Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us here on a Monday morning. Arthur, sorry about that, but we had a candidate running for office, and the news. Oh. And the news. Normally, we have about 8 or 9 minutes worth of news at the top of the hour, but like today, for some reason, there was like 15 minutes worth of news. So,
You know, it's very important. I take a backseat to elections right now.
I don't know. For me, food never takes a backseat.
Well, you have to eat. Although I said that to a friend the other day, and she said, why?
Why?
somebody who I have always suspected had an eating disorder.
Yeah, I guess so.
I always say I have an eating disorder. I like to eat.
That's it.
Well, actually, I'm down 55 pounds, so... I'm trying to maintain that, which isn't easy. So, you know what the moment is for? Today is June 14th, and that date always rings in my ear as the date you're supposed to be testing your green walnuts to see if they're, you can still make a nocino, which is a liqueur made with green walnuts. Now, of course, here in the East, Northeast, Mideast of the U.S., we do not have walnut trees. Not that I know of. I mean, there probably are, you know, some kind of ugly black walnuts around, but not the good ones. So, English walnuts. And I, years and years ago, I had a friend, she's still there, in California, who did, in fact, have walnut trees. And she sent me green walnuts. So I could make nocino. I only did it once in my life. I've watched people make it. First time I watched somebody make it, I was only in my 20s, and I was in Emilia-Romagna, and I was told this is the thing in Emilia-Romagna, and which is the region of Bologna and Rimini and Ravenna. Anyway, Parma, good food area. Very excellent food, maybe the best food area. And egg pasta, don't get me going. I just got myself going. So, an old lady back in the early 70s showed me how to make nocino, and I thought for a long time it was just a thing from Emilia-Romagna. And in fact, it probably started there, it seems to have. But I know Italians from other places that also make nocino, and in the South, where I spend most of my time, they definitely make nocino, and they have walnut trees. But I've never asked Cecilia or any of my friends in Salerno what the date is for testing the walnuts. Now, the walnuts need to be still soft. They have not formed a shell yet. And the old lady in Emilia-Romagna in the 1970s showed me the way to figure this out is you go to the trees and with a knitting needle she took, and if the knitting needle can go into they're fully formed walnuts, but green, and the knitting needle can go right into the center of the walnut, then it's okay to use for nocino. And by the way, you do all this with gloves on. Because if you do happen to manage to get some walnuts to make nocino, it stains everything. The walnuts look green and innocent, but they're not. And it's sort of an indelible stain. So if you're making nocino, be sure to be protected. At least get your hands protected so they don't turn black. Anyway, you put the halved, of course washed, and halved green walnuts in a jar, and you cover them with grain alcohol. I know there are recipes out there that call for vodka, the same thing with limoncello, the liqueur that's made with the peel of the lemon. This is not the season for that, by the way. Although you could here in the U.S. We have lemons all the time. Anyway, and it's easy to buy organic lemons these days, which is a nice thing to have for a liqueur based on the rind, which is always waxed and sprayed with normal lemons. Anyway, back to nocino. So you submerge the halved walnuts in a jar of alcohol, a grain alcohol, which is usually 98% alcohol, and you leave it there until it turns brown. It takes, I think, at least a week for the flavor of the walnuts to be infused into the alcohol. And then you strain it. You take out the walnuts. You throw them away. And to the alcohol, it depends on who's making it, what they add, but common additives are clove, cinnamon, not too much of either because you don't want to overwhelm the flavor of the green walnuts. Some people put in vanilla. I don't know anybody who uses vanilla, be honest with you, because vanilla bean is expensive enough here in the U.S. In Italy, nobody uses vanilla bean that I know of. Maybe some fancy bakers do. But most people use a little packet of powdered vanilla as their vanilla. So I don't think they're putting that into their nocino, but you never know. So you can put orange peel, lemon peel. I don't like lemon peel. Orange peel, good. And anyway, you can flavor the alcohol with additional flavorings. And then you add an equal quantity of sugar syrup, simple syrup, that's made with one part sugar and one part alcohol. If you don't like it, one part water, I'm sorry, you bring it to a boil. As soon as it starts simmering, it usually clarifies and becomes crystal clear, so you know that the sugar is fully dissolved. And that's it. You let it cool, and you combine it with the alcohol. It's pretty much the same method used for all the different infused alcohols. By the way, these are all June liqueurs to make, and I have a big bottle of alcohol here that I've been trying to get off my shelf, taking up too much space. It's a half gallon of alcohol. I make Vicciolino, which is a liqueur made from the leaves only of sour cherry trees. Now, you may say, where do you get those? And I get them from a farm in Pawling. And there are a lot of sour cherry trees around in your neighborhood. So if you can find somebody who has sour cherry trees, they may not even harvest the cherries. They may just have a sour cherry tree because it's a nice tree. This is the time to harvest the leaves. You only need leaves. So I have a farmer who brings me several branches of leaves, and in the end I counted the leaves, and I use about 200 leaves, which weighs in at 4 ounces. If you don't want to count leaves, you can just do put your leaves on a scale and 4 ounces. Of course, wash them. And then you combine the leaves. Remember, this is leaves only. You're going to be amazed at the cherry flavor you get out of the leaves. And by the way, I have chewed a leaf or two in my life. Trying to get that flavor out just by chewing the leaf doesn't happen. It must be a chemical reaction between the alcohol and whatever's in the leaves that provides flavor. So you let the leaves infuse in the alcohol for at least 2 days. Could be three. Strain out the leaves, and then again, you add a sugar syrup. And by the way, for 200 cherry leaves or 4 ounces of leaves, I use a half a liter, that's a pint, more or less, 16 ounces, of grain alcohol. Did I say that we're infusing this in wine? I forgot to say that. That's the most important thing. The base of Vicciolino is a red wine. Now, I use a very inexpensive Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. It's fruity, young, medium-bodied, cost me like maybe, I didn't look this season, but maybe it's up to $12 a bottle. Last year, I see here, I have a note, it was $10 a bottle. Everything's gone up. So in 2 liters of wine, 200 leaves of sour cherry tree, and then when you strain out the leaves, you add a combination of a half a liter of grain alcohol and quite a lot of sugar. Now, I use, it's like 12 ounces of sugar. But you don't have to make it that sweet. And then after you've stirred that in, and by the way, you do need to stir it a lot until the sugar is fully dissolved in the alcohol. There's no sugar syrup here. I made a mistake when I started this off. The Vicciolino is in red wine. And after a few days, after you start in the sugar, you can start drinking it. But if you really want to wait a month is best. Now, I have some here that I made 2 years ago. And although I can tell the difference, you probably couldn't. If I served it to you, you'd probably like it. But I don't think it lasts more than a year. Not truly. So that's another liqueur that I make now. Another one, and now this is maybe harder to obtain, fresh, well, I see fresh bay leaves in the supermarket now. But they're dark green, rather thick, mature leaves. And I like to make my bay leaf liqueur with a new leaf, which is about now, meaning leaves that came out this year. And here we are in the middle of June. You should have a fully formed, if you have a bay tree, and a lot of people do keep bay trees. I even know somebody in Sharon who used to have a bay tree. You have to, you can take it out in the summer now, and then you bring it back in when before the first frost, and you're okay. My nephew did this for one season, and then he killed the tree. So I, you know. Anyway, and he had the right place to winter it over too. I think he forgot to water it. In any case, the new leaves, which came out a few weeks ago and by now are fully formed, are the leaves you want for your bay leaf liqueur. And I crush them in my hand as I put them in the jar. And I then cover them with, I'm forgetting exactly how much, but let's say for a pint of crushed bay leaves, which is not hard to obtain. I'm going to actually look this up. Here we go. My computer actually worked today. So for a half an ounce of bay leaves, which is young bay leaves, which is, you know, a jar full, put in 2 cups of grain alcohol and let that stand for at least 24 hours. Now, I love to do this. I put it in a jar on the kitchen counter and I shake it every time I walk by, but you don't really have to do that. It just gives me something to do. And the dark green leaves will lose their dark green color after at least 24 hours, could take 2 days. And then, meantime, while this is doing, you can make your sugar syrup. And I would use 2 cups of water and 2 3/4 cups of sugar. You can make it less sweet if you like, 2 cups of sugar, of water and 2 cups of sugar. And then once you get your syrup and it's nearly room temperature, you can combine it with the infused alcohol. And, of course, you discard the bay leaves, unless you just want to stick one in a jar because it looks nice. And you can drink this with pleasure within a day. And it could improve a little bit in a week. And I have to say, I've kept this for years. I love it. My nephew Brian loves it. As I said, he actually bought a bay tree so he could make this. So it's really good. Don't turn your nose up because it's an herb. But herbs, you know. Oh, by the way, one more liqueur is I make at this time of the year, the strawberries, even California strawberries sent across the U.S. are tasting sensational. But any minute now, there will be local berries. And those local berries are even more sensational and precious. And I just put them in a jar, cover them with alcohol, grain alcohol. If you want to use vodka, you can in this case. And when the alcohol becomes bright, bright red, you can combine it with some sugar syrup. You use your taste for that. I don't like it too sweet. And you've got unbelievable way of preserving the aroma and the color and the flavor of this moment in early summer. It's great. Now we're talking about infusing stuff. I was reading about olive oil the other day. I didn't know this until the other day, but Steve Jenkins, who for many years, I don't know, over 30 years, was one of the key people, managers at Fairway, the big supermarket, he developed their olive oil department, their cheese department, I know that he takes credit for a lot. The olive oil bar, it's possibly Steve Jenkins invented. Not the olive, the olive bar. Have you ever seen, you know, a lot of stores have them now, you know, it's a refrigerated trays filled with different olives, and you help yourself. So anyway, Steve Jenkins is now in the olive oil business, and I think it's called Mr. Jones Olive Oil. I don't know why. And he was ranting. I found this rant on the line about people buying flavored olive oils. Now, I have never ranted about it, but I would rant because it's ridiculous. I mean, you're paying extra, I mean, maybe double what you would normally pay for good, really good olive oil, for really bad olive oil flavored with something inferior as well. So, you know, who wants a jar full of spices and inferior olive oil? You could make it yourself if you really wanted to. You just take some good olive oil and you add your own spices. Is that so hard? The other one, but the thing that got me about this is that Jenkins ranted. By the way, I know Steve Jenkins. I've known him for 40 years. He used to be on my radio program regularly, and I'll never forget the day he started getting undressed on the radio. And I said, Steve, why are you getting naked? He says, it's the radio. Nobody can see. I said, but your back is to the control room. Anyway, Jenkins is a character. So he went off on a very, very, I don't know, significant item on the Neapolitan table. It's called Olio Santo. And you can hardly go to any restaurant in Campania, in the region around Naples, in the Amalfi Coast, Capri, Ischia, even all the resort places, and not find Olio Santo, which is hot pepper oil, chili oil. And he doesn't like chili oil. By the way, he's right about something. He took some chili oil at a table in restaurant in Italy, and he smelled it, and he said, this is rancid oil. Now, here's something I learned early on. To make chili oil, do not use olive oil. For some reason, I don't know, olive oil does go rancid quite quickly when combined with hot peppers. Whether it's the something on the surface of the hot pepper, I don't know. But it does, if you want to make chili oil with good olive oil, you should serve it within a few days or at least a couple of weeks of preparing it. Otherwise, if you want to keep your chili oil around, you've got to use a neutral oil. You know, peanut oil, to me, works great. But truly any vegetable oil. And you just heat up the oil, not to smoking or anything like that. Just make it hot or at least warmed. And you put in your chili peppers, and that's it. And then you let it sit. So I do this with dried chilies. I once did it with fresh chilies, which is what I thought you had to use, because when I've eaten this in Naples and at Cecilia's table, they're always soft, chewable bits of chili. It ends up, no. And I made this with fresh chilies, and Cecilia was in my kitchen. She said, you can't eat this. I said, what are you talking about? She said, look at this. It's already growing mold. So it ends up that you use dry chilies, but really they're not so dry that they crumble, but they're dried. And you rinse them too, by the way, and before you dry them. And then you put them in the oil, and they do get softer. They absorb oil, and they do get, you know, almost like not really a fresh chili. But that's done with neutral oil. And so I don't make any flavored oils. I mean, it's enough to add flavor at the end of whatever you're cooking or preparing. Like last night, I made a salad dressing, and I didn't want an Italian-y dressing. I wanted a Frenchy dressing because I was using it for a cold lamb salad. I had left over leg of lamb, and so I made a salad, and we had the leg of lamb on it, and I made a dressing of olive oil and shallots and Dijon mustard, and I used my flavored vinegar. So vinegar is a natural preservative. So you can put anything under vinegar, and it'll stay for quite a long time. It may not stay where you want it to stay, but it won't hurt you when you eat it. And I was in a phase just recently of making things with tarragon. I kept having leftover tarragon. I mean, I didn't need that much tarragon for any particular recipe. So I didn't want to be committed to tarragon for a week. So the last time I bought this bunch of tarragon, and I get these big bunches of really fabulous tarragon at one of my produce markets, and it's super cheap, like $1.99 for more than you know what to do with. And so I decided to make tarragon vinegar, which I used last night. It was sensational because it adds that flavor of tarragon to the dressing, a very fresh flavor, I have to say, without actually having a fresh herb. So that's another infusion that I make. I don't do any other flavored vinegars. I have other vinegars on my counter here, but balsamic. I'm not a big balsamic vinegar fan. In fact, I'm not a balsamic vinegar fan of any kind. But Mr. Harned likes balsamic vinegar on certain things. So I do have that. That's a flavor. I have red wine vinegar. I have a new red wine vinegar that has 7% acidity. And I like a strong acidity in vinegar because then you don't need as much to make your salad tart and you don't have as watery a dressing. I have white vinegar. I have apple cider vinegar, I'm totally into lately. I have rice wine vinegar. So I'm counting here. It's at least 6 different vinegars, enough. You don't need to have every flavor on the shelf.
Apple.
But I am gonna make some liqueurs. I am. Because not only do I have empty decanters on the sideboard here that look so much better when they're filled, but also this is, as I say, the moment, June 14th, the moment. So it's Flag Day. Does anybody remember that it's Flag Day?
Probably about 20% of the people.
I don't even know if anybody knows what that's about, Flag Day.
Well...
Anyway, I do know it's my friend Billy's 93rd birthday today. Happy birthday, Billy. And she's still, by the way, raring to go at 93. Last year we had her birthday party on Zoom, but this year she's able to get out and go. I think she's going to her... This is a nice story. Billy, as I just said, is 93. She only moved to Florida 4 years ago, because her children retired to Florida.
So she retired after.
So she figured she might. She was living in New Jersey, where she'd been living for 40 years in the same house.
By the way, for people who don't know what Flag Day is about, it was the day the flag was authorized by the United States. It became the official adoption of the flag on this date back in the 1700s. So that's...
Well, there are certain neighborhoods in Brooklyn here that I know for sure, if I go drive through, there will be a flag on almost every house. Okay. So I think it's come down to that Flag Day is the day that you fly the flag if you don't on the other day. That's what way it seems to be celebrated around here.
And come back to balsamic vinegar. The only time I like balsamic vinegar is, and I had it once at a deli, and it's great. I had a mozzarella and fresh tomato sandwich on a roll, and they put balsamic vinegar on the roll itself.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to tell you, that is one of the chief uses of balsamic vinegar for Mr. Robert Harned. So he has that same taste as you. I don't want to get into a whole riff on balsamic vinegar, just to say that almost every balsamic vinegar you can buy in a supermarket is not real balsamic vinegar. It's sort of sweetened vinegar. But you can buy the real deal item for an exorbitant price. And once you've had the real product, the real balsamic vinegar, it's hard to go back to the commercial stuff. But the real balsamic vinegar is, as I say, very, very expensive. I mean, it could be $100 for a 3-ounce bottle. You only eat it in small quantities, and you know, it was not created for salad. Balsamic means it's therapeutic, and it was, in fact, had medicinal use. And your grandma gave you a spoon of balsamic vinegar when you told her you weren't feeling too well. But that was it. It was by the spoonful, and then you ate it by the spoonful. And by the way, and you enjoyed it by the spoonful. when I have the once in a blue moon, somebody will give me a gift of real balsamic vinegar, and what I do with it is I love it on fish. You get a piece of grilled swordfish with a spoonful of balsamic on top. It's heaven. Same thing with fresh tuna. Same thing. Any fatty fish, be honest with you, benefits from balsamic vinegar. And then there are other places to have it, but on vegetables, if you're not eating animal flesh, it's grilled vegetables with a little balsamic. That's delicious.
All right.
All right, I'm getting myself hungry here, and I don't think I have anything for breakfast.
I'll go find something.
It means I have to cook something.
All right.
All right. Anyway, enjoy your infusions. It's going to be a hot and rainy week.
Well, I will speak to you next week.
Take care.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.